This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. We're brought to you every single week by our friends at the Glenview Park Golf Club. Right here on ESPN Chicago, talking golf with you every single Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. And this segment brought to you by Geneva National, as we're inside a week from teeing it up out of Shinnecock Hills for the U.S. Open. And one of the fun parts of the U.S. Open, Mike, is the qualifying that takes place, particularly what took place on Monday in what is dubbed golf's longest day. It's a lot of fun to watching it, and some of the coverage that's out there on the Golf Channel too, because you look at some of the things that take place and it's these guys grinding. Sometimes they're carrying their own bags. Like, everything about it is nuts. It is a grind of a day. And I think one of the things that made both you and I smile was when we saw our buddy Nick Hardy qualify for the U.S. Open out at Springfield Country Club. And he qualified in a pretty competitive field, too. Some of the other guys that qualified out of his region were Neil Shipley, Billy Horschel, and even like having a guy as an alternate in Brant Snedeker. For Nick Hardy to be among the guys that are now moving on and going to play in the U.S. Open, it was really cool to see. And hopefully this is the start of getting himself back on track and becoming a fixture back on the PGA Tour.
No, 100%. And we will be pulling for Mr. Hardy in the biggest way. But I'm hopeful that this is exactly what his game needs. You know, we've been seeing Doug Gim pretty consistently week to week. You know, he may not be in the top three or five, but, you know, he's a grinder out there. And Nick has really had a tough 2026, at least a start. So my hope for him is the confidence that he should take coming from that qualifier in Ohio. That is, I think, by far the strongest field of all of the sectional qualifiers. And so I think coming out of that site specifically should do a lot for his confidence going into Shinnecock. And I'm just going to pull like mad that he makes the cut and that this is where his 2026 season turns for the good. And he's going to point back to Springfield, Ohio, as where it all got started.
Yeah. A couple of notable names that missed it, Tony Finau and Max Homa, did not make the cut and will not be participating. But back to Nick real quick. You know, the U.S. Open is the major that he's played in the most of the four. And you look at some of his finishes at the U.S. Open, he's actually done pretty well. I remember there was moments in, I believe it was 2022. It was the year that Matt Fitzpatrick won out at the Country Club in Brookline. And it looked like Nick was going to finish inside the top 10, maybe even top 5 for a little bit. You saw his name on that leaderboard, on that graphic, for a good chunk of the tournament. He ended up finishing tied for 14th. And then the last time that he's played in a major was 2023, also a U.S. Open. He finished tied for 20th. You want to talk about a guy who, I mean, we always talk about some guys are just built for certain events. Nick Hardy just might be built for an event like the U.S. Open.
Well, you know, just ask the guy we spoke to, Andy North.
Yeah.
He seemed to bring his best game when the golf course got, the harder the golf course, the better Andy got. Nick Hardy is starting to fit that kind of a mold, and I could see him shocking the world and having a top 10 out of nowhere. Now, are we going to think that he's going to win? No, but we do. Nick's got game. I mean, if this guy has four rounds that, you know, we know that he can put together and does it four in a row, I mean, there's no reason he can't be a top 10 finisher at this year's Open.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, Charlie Nikitas also oh so close to qualifying for this. He was out in Westerville,
yes,
Ohio. And he put together a great first round. Again, you play 36 holes. You play two rounds to qualify. He finished tied for 16th. But He was oh so close. If he could have put together a little bit of a round in the second round closer to his first, he was 5 under, and then even if he was, I think he had to get to like 3 under in to make the cut in this, or maybe it was 4 under in the second round, then he would have been in this U.S. Open. He came oh so close out in Westerville, Ohio, and looked like he was maybe going to do it after posting that first round 67, but he ends up finishing on the outside looking in. But that would have been another awesome story to see a Glenbrook North and a Glenbrook South guy in this year's U.S. Open out of Shinnecock.
I know. We were so, so very close, and that would have been a place your bets, boy. That up in Glenview, that would have been, they had to have a watch party.
Yeah. No, it would have been. Yeah, you'd have people at the grandpa's by the train station watching that one and rooting for their guy Charlie Nikitas. But yeah, no, it was it's one of the more fun days and one of the more niche days in all of golf. I saw our guy James Colgan on a lot of the coverage. He was out in Maryland for golf's longest day, yeah. And just it just goes to show you how difficult it is to pull through in events like this and to qualify for events like this where you're seeing some of the best, and maybe you just end up going to the wrong place to try to qualify. And in certain places, if you went there, maybe you're in this event, and in certain places you go and you find yourself on the outside looking in of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and then you have those situations where people, when they signed up to originally get through the local and then they got sent to the sectional, you have to declare which sectional you're going to go to.
Yeah.
So you've had stories about some of the players who said, hey, I'm going to go to Miami. And then all of a sudden they get into an event and they're way out in the West Coast, and now they're trying to get back to Miami for this one Monday qualifier. There were three guys that got hung up in storms and whatnot,
yeah.
And they arrived, and three of them, one played but withdrew after about 9 holes because he was trying to play without his clubs and somebody else's, and the other two arrived, and after being up all night to get there, they just decided to
withdraw. Well, even
so, some
even Charlie Nikitas and what he had to do. He flew in from Mexico to Ohio overnight because he was finishing on the Latin American tour. He was finishing an event in Mexico on Sunday that he played pretty well in, I believe, too, and had to catch that flight overnight to Ohio, and then he ends up making it and nearly qualifying for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people think that the day in itself is a long day. But for a lot of these players, especially if they're coming from an event that they made the cut, they could be coming from internationally to try to tee it up in the next morning and get over those time zones, the travel, and getting through customs and all of that, and then having the mindset to go not 18, 36 holes. And it is a grueling torture. So for those that made it, thus far, if they went local and now to the sectional, they will have played 72 holes. And then if they go on to win the U.S. Open, they will have played 144 holes. And there's only been one individual that's been able to do it, and that was Orville Moody back in the 60s. He went through 144 holes of, or 72 holes of qualifying, and then 72 holes and won it. And it was his only win.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Some of the stories that you get out of
that's
the U.S.
That's why the U.S. Open.
Open
can produce anything.
Right.
It is wild.
It is the nation's Open. We will make our fantasy golf picks coming up in the next segment. But real quick, Mike, you are out at the Adaptive Open today at Fox Bend Golf Course in Oswego. What's the vibe been like? It is a beautiful day out there, and all the golfers are out and running at this point.
Yeah, they are. And we've got Willie Faulkner Jr. teeing it up, and he is a player. He's actually from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, went to Glenbard West High School, but he is on a full scholarship at the University of Arizona playing on their adaptive golf team, and he is a freshman. And he just piped it. He just split the fairway about 275, 280 right down the pipe. And so he's representing the University of Arizona's adaptive club team, and they're playing against Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan for the rights to the Pearl Cup. And we had an amazing Thursday night when the players of all the teams flew in. Jerry Rich had everybody out to Rich Harvest Farm, and we had about 70 or 80 people out there, and they got to go through the car museum and meet Mr. Rich and see, you know, how special a place Rich Harvest Farm is. And so for a lot of these people coming in from various parts of the country to go see an iconic car museum where I think the cars are worth like $800 or $900 million in there, and the course, the setup, I mean, it's just amazing what Mr. Rich has done out there and what he has given back to this community, and specifically to the work with kids with, you know, disabilities through the Kids Golf Foundation. So Jerry Rich hosted the teams, and the vibe out here, I have to tell you, is upbeat, inspirational, and everybody is happy that the day has finally arrived, because they have been counting down the days to get here. Because believe it or not, Tyler, and we're being told this, is that next to the U.S. Adaptive Open, this is the second best event that is put on in the community of the adaptive world, and we are the richest purse in the world. So these guys are playing for $30,000 this weekend, and you're going to see the world's greatest here. And so I would not be surprised if we see a few under par win this thing.
Wow. Yeah, it was an awesome event last year, and it's priming up to be an awesome event once again this year. All right, when we come back, we will make our fantasy golf picks for the U.S. Open taking place out of Shinnecock later this week. That's all coming up next here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Back here on the CDGA Golf Show, this segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club. Mike, live out at Fox Bend Golf Course for the Chicago Adaptive Open, and we'll get more updates from what's taking place out at the Adaptive Open, but if you're in the Oswego area, definitely make it a point to go out there and see all of these golfers. It's a free event, so you could just walk on into the Fox Bend Golf Course, and you'll see all of these guys teeing it up. And it is truly one of the more amazing events that you will see in golf all year long. It's time to get into our U.S. Open fantasy golf picks, where we build our teams, and you can play along at cdga.org on the Majors Challenge. You just go to Benefits and Contests, and then you'll find the Fantasy Golf tab. And there's great prizes involved. Prizes go out to the top 25 finishers, along with two random participants that will receive prizes as well. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, this thing fills up. You can play against your friends. There's like a way that you can find your friends, and then you can create your own head-to-head type contests or like mini pools out of the big pool itself here. But you pick three golfers plus an alternate out of Group A. Same thing in Group B. Group C, you got four golfers plus an alternate. And Group D, two golfers plus an alternate. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I feel like they expanded Group A a lot and made this thing really difficult to kind of sift through.
They did.
But it's a lot of fun every single major we play here on the CDGA Golf Show. So we'll go group by group and tell you who we're rolling with in this U.S. Open taking place out at Shinnecock. Group A, Mike, who do you have representing Team Gilligan out there?
Okay, so with us playing at Shinnecock, the country's first 18-hole golf course, I'm going against the grain, and that's going to be my theme, because, you know, we talked earlier about Orville Moody. I've got some Orville Moody type picks going this
week,
because I think we're going to have a unique winner this week. So with Group A, I go Tommy Fleetwood, I go John Rahm, and I go Ludvig Åberg.
Okay.
With my alternate as Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Got it. Now, I think we match on two. I've got John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay.
I'm going to take Scotty Scheffler, because even if he doesn't win this thing, I still think he'll find himself inside the top 10. And you just want to rack up as many top 10s as possible and avoid as many miscuts as possible. Scotty hasn't missed a cut in feels like forever. I think since 2023 was the last time he missed a cut. And then for my alternate, I'm going to go with Chris Goddard, a guy who is from the Northeast, has played golf in the Northeast, and now gets a tournament, a U.S. Open in the Northeast. So I'm going to go with Chris Goddard as my alternate there. On to Group B. This is where things begin to get interesting, because I would have expected some of the names in Group A to be in Group B, but when I saw them listed, it made this list a little bit more difficult to pick through. So who do you have representing your team out of Group B?
Well, leading off my Group B is going to be the gentleman I spoke about earlier in the show, Patrick Reed. Mm-hmm. I really feel strong that he's going to have a great event. Just because of what we talked about, his wedge play, his short game abilities. He has spent a lot of time playing a lot of European golf due to his time on the DP World Tour. So the conditions, the difficulty, the winds, the elements, he's ready for it. So the next guy I'm going to pick is Alex Smalley. I think this guy is an amazing, very hard, good golf course player. If the golf course is hard, he's a good player. He's not the kind of player that's going to light up, you know, 30 under par and get into a birdie shootout. But I like his chances on a venue where you got to keep it straight and narrow and be able to manage your mental side of the game. So Alex Smalley, I think, is going to be a strong performer. And right next to him is going to be Hideki Matsuyama. And then my alternate is going to be Sam Burns because, you know, he's playing good this week. So let's see if he can continue to roll into Shinnecock.
I'll match you on Hideki. I am also going to roll with Victor Hovland, who's starting to find a little bit of a rhythm today and hopefully can carry that momentum into the U.S. Open. And then I'll go with Siwoo Kim, who has not missed a cut in 16 tries this year, also has 8 top 10s. He was in the thick of it for a couple tournaments this year. And where ball striking is going to be so important, he's one of the best on tour with it. And then for an alternate, I'll go with Justin Thomas. On to Group C.
Okay, Group C. I am going to continue with the Fitzpatrick theme here. And this time I'm leading off with his younger brother, Alex. He's been having a great season as he's turned pro and come on over to the PGA Tour. And so this is the kind of event where his career could really be solidified with a strong showing at Shinnecock. Will he win? No, but I look for him to make the cut, and that's really what you want to do in this game. Mm-hmm. Max Gracerman is another pick of mine. And then when I talk about the unique, I'm going to pick Patrick Rogers. He's, I think, played in the most events so far and has not won one tournament. And this could be the Orville Moody pick. So okay. Patrick Rogers represents Orville Moody for me this week, and I'm picking him to break through. And Sahith Theegala, because he's having a nice week up in Canada, and he's been kind of struggling a little bit. And I'm thinking maybe he's found his way because he's got tremendous upside. And I think ultimately Sahith will win a major. I don't know that he'll win this week, but it's good to see that he's got his form coming around. And then I picked Rio Hisatun. Is that how you pronounce
yeah.
his last
mm-hmm.
name? I just know he's a great ball striker. So I'm going with him.
Yep. And I also have, we've matched on Alex Fitzpatrick and Rio Hisatun. And then I'm going to go Keith Mitchell, who has a pair of top 10s this year and has made a fair number of cuts as well. And then I'll go with Jordan Spieth, who's probably the biggest name out of this group here in Group C. But Jordan Spieth has quietly started to put together much better seasons. And I just feel like you're getting extreme value here. And then for my alternate, I'm going to go with Gary Woodland, who's been one of the better stories on the PGA Tour and really in all of sports for what he's had to overcome. And he has gone out and had himself a really nice run, including a win at the Houston Open earlier this year. On to Group D. This is the slimmest of pickings. You only need to take two plus an alternate. And there are names that you have never heard of on this list. So who are you rolling with here?
Yeah, and it's funny. It's the fewest amount of picks you have to make, but it's the biggest category.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is definitely the category you could play. Is he a bowler or a golfer?
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. But I am jumping all over the Nick Hardy bandwagon.
Yeah, you and me both.
I'm picking Chris Kirk, and Tom Kim is my alternate.
All right. We have not heard Tom Kim's name in a long time. But he's got that game in him. Like he was trending towards being one of the top 10 golfers in the world, it felt like, for a while, and then really hasn't lived up to that billing. So I mentioned I've got Nick Hardy. I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson, who has quietly played much better in majors as of late.
Yes, he has.
So, again, all I'm looking for is a guy to make the cut, and if I can get a guy like DJ in this event, I'm going to go for that. And then for my alternate, I am going to go with Sudarshan Yellamaraju, who you may not have heard of, but he's been on some leaderboards as of late, and he's starting to play a lot better at the Canadian Open right now. But he's got a pair of top 10s. He's made 13 of 16 cuts this year, and hopefully he can scrap together another made cut for me out at Shinnecock this upcoming week, and maybe ends up being a key contributor for me in the fantasy golf world this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good pick. He is a guy that a lot of people don't know about, but he's the perfect type of guy that all of a sudden you could see him atop of the leaderboard on Thursday, and I think we're going to see a lot of names, and we're all going to say, who's that?
Yeah. That's usually how
that's
this thing goes.
This thing.
Yeah, those first couple
Saturday,
days.
Or Thursdays. Yeah, Thursday you get those, you know, those one-hit wonders, and they get that one round going, and then reality sets in. But, you know, this is that dream. I mean, this is the one event that any person in America could just step up and qualify and win. Now, I say it that easy, but there's no other tournament that allows itself to be as open to having an opportunity to play for your nation's championship. For us to try to get into tour events and that kind of thing, it's just, it's not, you know, it's not possible. So that's what makes this event interesting. There's a lot of great, great storylines out there amongst some of these players that you may not know a lot about, but I would encourage the listeners to do a little homework before the thing gets started so that you know where and how and why the people came and made it and how they made it and their story of getting there. It's all part of what I think is the charm of the United States Open.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's truly one of those events. Listen, you usually know who the winner is, but the guys who fill out maybe 2 through 10 on the leaderboard, you get some names that you never heard of in there, and it's truly, it can help launch a career, and that's what makes it so cool because of exactly what you said. Anyone can qualify for this thing. Your neighbor, who knows, like maybe has tried to qualify for this thing before. And it's a lot of fun watching that. So, yep, the U.S. Open gets going later this week out at Shinnecock. Give me your final pick for who is going to win this thing coming up and will be hoisting the trophy on Sunday.
I'm going Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed, all right.
I really feel strongly, and I don't know why, but I have explained why. But I just have a good, strong feeling for him. And we'll see. How about you?
I'm going to go with Jon Rahm. I think it feels like we haven't had a live winner in quite some time, and Jon Rahm has started to play better at some of these majors. I think he's a little bit more comfortable, game coming into form a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Jon Rahm to capture this U.S. Open here. And like the Patrick Reed pick's really interesting to me because we've seen him really step up in a lot of these majors. He was awesome at the Masters, nearly had a chance to win it there, and just has hung in the thick of a lot of these. So it's been a lot of fun to see with what he's doing and working his way back to the PGA Tour through the DP World Tour. And when he steps into these majors, man, he's got something to him.
No doubt. And, you know, he's a friend of the show. We had
That's
him on.
That's correct, yep.
And it's been funny ever since we've done that. I run into him from time to time. And, you know, for a lot of people say he's a tough guy to be around. I don't think so. Actually, I found him to be quite fun to talk to and whatnot if you get to know him. But I can see the surliness, and I can see when the game face goes on, nothing bothers that guy.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how he can do that. And it's almost like a talent that is just something that you can't teach. And he's just got this ability to shut the world out. And he does not care what anybody thinks of him and the way he goes about his business. And I think for a guy like that, it's so freeing. And it allows him to just go out and be who he is and make no bones about it. He rubs some people the wrong way, but he rubs a lot of people the other way. So you either love him or you hate him. He's a kind of a polarizing guy, but I think that's what makes him a great personality for the game, almost on the same levels of it, like an Ian Poulter in a way. kind of polarizing.
Yeah. And I'll peel back the curtain on what took place with that Patrick Reed interview. We were told by Liv, hey, you may have a surprise guest. We may be able to get you a golfer. And we had taped an interview earlier in the week with Taylor Gooch, and we were airing that interview. And then all of a sudden, we got a call on our hotline and picked up the phone. And our producer at the time, I believe it was Jake Cantu, goes, hey, there, Patrick Reed's on the phone right now. And we were airing the Taylor Gooch interview in that moment. And we probably still had like 7 or 8 minutes left in the interview with Taylor Gooch. And we were like, hey, listen, like, sorry, we weren't told about this, but we're airing this interview right now. If you can hold on, we'll get right to you after we're done with this. And he was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll hang on the line, I don't mind. And I would have thought, especially a guy who has won a Masters, and especially at that moment was probably less than 5 years removed from winning a Masters, I would have thought, oh, he's gonna hang up and not hang around. And no, he was a great guy. He was fun to talk to, had tons of great stories, and it just kind of was like a different side of Patrick Reed that I don't think people got to see. So I just felt like it was important to clear the air for our guy Patrick Reed there, who is a friend of the show and Mike's pick to click this week out at the U.S. Open. All right, when we come back, we will be joined by Matt Reppa, the Director of Sports Medicine and Athletic Training at Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. That is next here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Republic Bank. It is the CDGA Golf Show every single Saturday morning with you on ESPN Chicago. Quick programming note, next week we will be on Sunday, 9 to 11 a.m., getting you ready for the final round of the U.S. Open. Mike is live on site at the Adaptive Open, the Chicago Adaptive Open, out at Fox Bend Golf Course in Oswego. And we're joined now by Matt Reppa, who is the Director of Sports Medicine and Athletic Training Services for Illinois Bone and Joint, one of the great sponsors of the Chicago Adaptive Open. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Matt, no, it's so great that you guys are out here, and none of this could be done without the vision of you and Andre Blum and the rest of the IBJI team. I mean, you look at the support we have here operationally, but even before we got here, and it's interesting, when we first met, Andre thought, what a great opportunity for us to get involved and make a difference. But what does it mean for IBGI to get involved with an event like this that's so community-based?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer for us from the jump. You know, anything we can do to kind of break down roadblocks and barriers to provide access to sports and events like this, it's very similar to how we treat our patients in our clinics, you know, on a daily basis. Access points, quality care, quality of events, and get people involved in what they love to do.
Matt, from your perspective, why is adaptive golf such an important thing? And when you're out there and you see this event and some of the amazing feats that these people are pulling off to just get on a golf course, let alone hit the ball 300 yards in the air, but like when you see that, what's your level of amazement when you see something like this?
They're athletes. I mean, first and foremost, no matter you know who's their any limitations or not. I mean, they're athletes at the highest caliber, professional athletes, and it's truly amazing to see them compete at such a high level here from around the country. I know we've got some fun tournaments over state lines between the states this year, I believe, Mike.
Yep.
Which is, you know, just bringing in that extra layer of competitiveness to sports is something that, you know, I'm personally passionate about. And the more things we can do to increase competition at all levels, with the highest level athletes possible, you know, on display, it's incredible to watch.
Well, and you know, Matt, when this event ended last year, you and I, Andre, we kind of circled the wagons and talked a lot about the event. And then I threw out a question to you about, would you guys ever entertain being with us instead of doing this year to year like CBS and the Masters? Could we be more like the U.S. Open and NBC and do like a 5-year deal? And thankfully, you guys agreed. And why? Why did it fit?
Well, one of the stipulations, we had to have a little bit, you know, cooler weather, a little bit more of a breeze this year,
true.
Which you did. You did. You figured that one out so we can continue the relationship. But no, in all seriousness, it was probably the easiest ask that I've ever had to pitch to our board, our group, when we showcased, you know, from us being out here to our marketing team, of what they put together on that singular event for the first time for us. We took it back to the board. There was zero pushback.
That's
awesome.
I mean,
it was just easy. Yeah. You know, I wish everything worked that way, and I hope I don't open a can of worms for everyone to come out and start asking us to do things. But just the specialness of this—it's in our backyard. It was spectacular,
and it's so moving because Tyler, I have Mr. Morrissey walking up with his two-year-old, the gentleman that you just talked about. He's got Woody in his hand. And this is why we do this.
Yeah.
He's standing right here in front of us, and that he introduced him to me. This is going to be a future champion of adaptive golf. How does that look?
Hopefully we'll be out here with him as well.
Yeah. That young man, he's 2 years old, and he's overcome cancer. And he is learning to deal with life as a two-year-old, and yet he's out here aspiring to be just like these guys. And that's the opportunity that Illinois Bone and Joint gives to whether they're amazing athletes, professional athletes, or athletes to be.
He's a role model for us.
He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tyler, anything from your perspective?
Yeah, Matt Repa, by the way, joining us here, Director of Sports Medicine and Athletic Training Services on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Matt, with this partnership with the Chicago Adaptive Open, how do you hope to see this event continue to grow and evolve over the course of this partnership?
Yeah, I think it's just more involvement, and that comes with a reason for our sponsorship is hopefully get, you know, a bigger purse, get, you know, more athletes involved, get them the ability to travel, to access these type of tournaments, get more fans out here. And I think once everybody sees the story and can follow some of these athletes around their careers, it will kind of grow organically. And I had colleagues that were out here last year with us that are texting me today, hey, we're watching you guys on your live stream this year, following along, because they were out here the first time and seeing the specialness of this event. Now they're tuning in, you know, and me personally, same thing. You know, I followed our pro, you know, kind of last year that we got to play with, see how, you know, he did in tournaments, and I was logging in for the first time. I think you're just going to keep seeing that build. And get more people involved.
Well, and it's funny, as you just were speaking, I'm looking down to our right, and teeing off right now is Amy Bakkerstedt, Tyler. Amy played with Gary Woodland, and if you remember at the Phoenix Open, she has Down syndrome, and she made that par at the stadium par 3 hole. Mm-hmm. She just hit it down the pipe here on number one. And playing with her is the only female adaptive golfer from the country of New Zealand.
Wow.
How about that? She traveled all the way with her mom from New Zealand, and they both just teed off. And to me, that's the vision that Andre, Matt, and I had from the very, very beginning. And it's amazing, Matt, that the community here has reached out back to us because of what Illinois Bone and Joint has committed. This golf course has committed, and the community has committed for 5 years. So we can't be happier than the relationship that we have with you guys, this partnership, and with this community. All we're going to do is just bigger and better things. And you know what? Promote game, but change lives.
Absolutely. And we really appreciate the opportunity for you guys to include us in it, offer that up to be a part of this event. It's really easy for me to get staff to come out here and do this, which isn't always the case, but they love the event. And it's, you know, Andre always uses the analogy, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. And this is clearly a 3 of really building something special here.
Well, we couldn't be happier than we are. And we just look forward to the future, even though we're not even done with this one. The partnership that we have has made such an impact on these players, and they are so glad to hear that you guys are going to be around for 5 years, because they know then the strength and the long-term success of this event is going to be here. And you know, for an event to sell out its field in a matter of weeks, we're at 84 players, 16 on the wait list, and that's unheard of around the world when these events are trying to be created like this. But we have you guys to thank for this. So I'm internally grateful to you and both Andre.
No, so, thanks for all you do and leading the way on this. You're a busy man, and thanks for letting me come up, screw up your radio show for a few minutes. So,
busy man just means he's got a tee time, man. He's not that busy out there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you said it. You said it, not me.
Matt Ripa, thanks so much for joining us today, and appreciate all your support of the Chicago Adaptive Open, Director of Sports Medicine and Athletic Training Services at Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA, get you up to date on what's taking place at the Canadian Open as well, and also at the Chicago Adaptive Open. That's all coming up next. This segment's been brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Thank you to Nick Palazzolo and to Mario Heron for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Republic Bank. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll go around the CDGA in just a moment, but quickly give you an update on the RBC Canadian Open up at TPC Toronto. And Billy Horschel's heater continues. He is 5-under through 8 and has moved into a tie for second. Out up 36 spots from where he entered the day, so he has found himself right in the thick of things on this moving day. Ben James, your solo leader, he's set to tee off a little under 2 hours from now alongside Sam Burns, who is one stroke off the lead. Jackson Suber, Hau Tung Lee, Jesper Svensson, and Keith Mitchell also one stroke off the lead. Victor Hovland making a charge himself. He's gotten to 8-under today. He's 5-under through 12 right now. Sudarshan Yelamaraju, who I mentioned as one of my fantasy golf picks for the week for the U.S. Open, he is having himself a nice start. An eagle on one has put him in a nice spot. He's 3-under through five, just birdied the fifth here, so he's into a tie for eighth right now, along with guys like Tommy Fleetwood and Brooks Koepka and Ryan Fox. But some really low scores being shot out there today. Ben Coles is 5-under through 16. Matt Fitzpatrick's 2-under through five. So looks like the course is going pretty low today, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of Canadian fireworks going on, a lot of Labatt's Blue being hammered down by the fans up there. I love the holes that they make. They look like hockey boards the whole skybox. It's a little bit of a spinoff of what they do in Phoenix, but it's Canadian style, and they have a great time up there. But you know what? They set the golf course in a way that I think is a lot of fun for us as viewers when you get to see a lot of movement on moving day. Especially movement from the bottom up to the top. And what Billy Horschel, like you said, he is on quite a heater. And, you know, you wonder, a guy like that, I could see coming, you know, from way back and just getting the momentum and taking this all the way to the bank tomorrow. And he wouldn't be a bit of a surprise if you told me he's your champion tomorrow. Because I look at a lot of these other names that are up there, and you just wonder how long is a Ben James going to stick around,
or, right,
you know, a Jackson Suber. But I'd look at this as a match between Billy Horschel and Sam Burns at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I
think Brooks certainly has a chance, or Tommy Fleetwood, both of those guys. I mean, Tommy's been in a playoff in this event before and was oh so close on the doorstep of winning it in what at the time would have been his first win on the PGA Tour. But I think the way that Brooks and Tommy and them being just two strokes off the lead and with a lot of golf left to play, those are two guys you cannot go wrong with either one as your champion for this week. So yeah, lots of good golf to be played up at Toronto for the remainder of the weekend. All right, Mike, what is going on around the CDGA? And again, you are live out at the Chicago Adaptive Open at Fox Bend Golf Course in Oswego.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Chicago Adaptive Open is what this week has been all about for us. This is our Super Bowl of events that we put on, aside from our state championship. But aside from the day-to-day, this is the biggest event we produce. It took us all week to get this thing set up. We have 8 different country flags flying, 25 states being represented here. Admission is free, and we've got quite a gallery here. This is by far the most I've ever seen come out and spectate these world great players that have all descended to Oswego. And I would encourage anyone, come on out. Bring your son, daughter, your wife. The weather is absolutely glorious. The temperature is absolutely perfect. We've got food and beverage. We've got the nicest people here in terms of Oswegoans, and the athletes want to visit with the spectators afterwards. So it is a great opportunity to get up really close to some of the best adaptive players in the world and watch how they navigate the golf course in a way that is truly unique. But what they also foster is that ability to perform under pressure, and their approach is just like the guys on the PGA Tour. So it's an interesting observation from a fan perspective when you come out to an event like this. You're going to learn a lot, and I think you're going to do a lot of self-reflecting. So this is my favorite weekend of the year in terms of what we do and promoting golf and changing lives. And I really feel like 84 lives are being changed, all for the good, and it just makes my heart sing. So if you're not doing anything, come on out. Grab some lunch, and if you're not available today, we're back here tomorrow. We'll award a champion around 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We will tee off 1 hour earlier tomorrow at 8 a.m. We'll go off the first tee, both tees, split tees. We will repair the pairings based on their finishes so we can have a wonderful finish. It will be broadcast live on Championship Golf Network, so you can stream it live. It's currently being streamed live as you and I are talking. But, come on out. Western Suburbs, it's not as far as you think. And no, it's not in Iowa. It's in Oswego. But, and speaking of member perks and what's going on around the CDGA, once you come out to Fox Bend and you fall in love with this layout, Lou Ramadani and the Oswego Land Park District offers all CDGA members an opportunity to come out here with a twosome, with cart, Monday to Friday, anytime, $90. That's $45 a guy, 18 holes, and includes your motorized vehicle. So I don't know, you're going to find a better deal in the Chicagoland area than that. And it's also the home of the 3rd Adaptive Open. So come on out, and that's really what's going on around the CDGA for this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, so much to get to. And then again, of course, we've got the U.S. Open next week, and just a little programming note for everyone out there too. We will be on Sunday instead. White Sox baseball on Saturday, so we're going to be on Sunday from 9 to 11 a.m., taking you through the final round of the U.S. Open. So no Saturday show. We'll be on Sunday instead, 9 to 11 a.m. Same time, different day next week. So we'll be through 3 rounds of the U.S. Open and getting you ready to see who is going to come through with the 3rd of the 4 majors this year. Tough to believe we're knocking on the doorstep of the 3rd major of the year already.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, 3/4 of the majors are going to be in the books, and before we know it, it's going to be President's Cup staring us right in the face. But first things first, our nation's open, and it is besides Masters Week, it's my second favorite one.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for us today. This segment's been brought to you by our friends over at Republic Bank. We will be back with you on Sunday, 9 to 11 a.m. That's right, Sunday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. on the CDGA Golf Show. Get on out to the Chicago Adaptive Open today and tomorrow as well if you're in the Oswego area. Check it out. It's a ton of fun, and you get to watch some great golf on top of that as well. We'll talk to you next week.